Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. This is, I've marked this in my Bible. I've marked it up, in fact. It's really powerful. But God's foundation stands firm, bearing this seal. The Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Now in a large house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use and some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from that which is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honor, set apart, holy, useful for the master of the house, and ready for every good work. That's an amazing verse. It's to me, it's not about, don't read salvation into it. It's not about salvation. It's about your growth in Christ. It's about the holiness in your life, in my life. And he says, listen, there's always two types of vessels in the house. One is for noble purposes, one for not noble. Now, so in other words, one would be for china cups, and one other would be for could be used for all kinds. It could be used for a toilet. They would both be in the house, but they have lesser purposes. And I have found in my own heart, I want to be able to say to the Lord, Lord, I want my life, my purposes, I want to be a vessel unto honor. I want to be holy before you. And that's really what God looks for. God looks for purity in His followers. He's not looking for how many souls I won. I don't think that's an issue with Him at all. I think he's working His work anyway. But to be a vessel that God uses and useful, you find yourself being useful for the Lord. And you depart from iniquity, leaving anything alone. And so we can look at our lives and say, God, is there anything in my heart or my life that hinders me from going to be that vessel of yours, honorable, good purposes? Or am I kind of set on the shelf because I'm not a vessel that's clean? Now again, we're not talking about perfectionism. We're not talking about some unattainable thing. We're talking about ordinary living, that we surrender ourselves to the Lord, and that we're aware that God has a purpose if I cleanse myself. That's my end of it. Just to be able to say to the Lord, Lord, I love You and I want to be clean and holy. I'll come to reason why there's reasons for this. But you can be set apart. And I don't know if you have a sense of that, but pray that you will, to have a sense of being set apart, that you're no longer your own. You belong to God. That's who owns you. He's the Lord of all. And He sets apart as those that are holy. Not those that are odd or weird or strange, but just ordinary people. He sets us aside for some amazing purposes and useful to the master of the house. Imagine that. Imagine saying, God, am I useful? And He says, you're very useful. Why? Because you cleansed yourself from all the iniquity. Whatever iniquity, you cleansed yourself. Well, as the Lord actually does it. And I thought, yeah, that's how that works. And ready. See, I'm ready to go, ready to stay, ready to stop, ready whatever God wants. And that's just for all of us. That's not anything for pastors. This is just how it works, is that we give ourselves and God sees there is someone, they're having devotions, they're sharing their life with others, they're just being available to God, and they see things in their life and say, oh, that's not very good. I don't want that in my life. I don't want that attitude. Why did I say that, or why did I do that? Lord, just cleanse me. Cleanse me, Lord. I want to be a vessel ready for every good work. Whatever God has that's good, and He wants to impart it to me and to you, how wonderful. He doesn't look far. He says, there's my servant, Arnie. There's my servant, ready for service. There's Caroline, ready for service. Perfect? No, I'm not talking about that. That's another whole level. This is just who you are right today, being available to God, because you recognize that you want to be that vessel, the vessel unto honor. I don't want to be the bedpan where they slide it under the bed. I've seen older houses like that, and there's a bedpan. How noble is that? Not that noble. It's still in the house. These are not out of there, in the house, vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. And we have this opportunity for in everybody's life here to say, God, here I am. Cleanse me, purify me. Just like I want to be like a sharp sword, that I am ready for purposes that are divine, and then to see what God would do. I don't know how you view it in your own life, but we tolerate a lot of things. You say, well, it's just who I am, or just, and say, oh, no, that's not, that has to go. There's things in my life that have to go. Classic deep sins, just things I think that were displeasing, attitudes that I've had that God says, that's not what, I don't want you to have that kind of attitude. I want you to be full of love. I want you to be full of care. I want you to be full of compassion. I don't want you to be that way. And then we just kneel down. We say, okay, God, I thank you for pointing that out. And many times, we're just saying, Lord, sanctify me. I want to go that next level. I don't want to be the fellow that couldn't God, you know, he got loved by God, always loved by God, but not available to the Lord for the Master's use. So let me ask you, is God seeking to have a purpose for you? Not that you're not already saved and probably a lot of other things have happened to you that is good, but to go to be that person that the Lord says, I'm looking for someone who I can set apart. And he scans and he looks, and you might find some humble individual, and he says, that's the person, because they have been cleansed, they've been purified, and they're ready for my purposes, for my usefulness, ready for every good work. Imagine, in other words, there's not my heart is right, my head is right, my life is right. Lord, if it's something that's not right, just, Lord, right now, just change that so I can lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. I want a life that matters, don't you? A life that matters more than anything else. You say, what's important in your life? To be pleasing to God, right? To be pleasing to God, fit for the Master's use, and all that will entail. Well, I thought of the book of Isaiah, and I think that's not quite the right wording on that. I think I gave Val misinformation there, but try chapter 53. And an idea here, what Jesus was about. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him. There's nothing attractive about this vessel. And no beauty that we should desire him. There's nothing about Jesus looking at him that would have been impressive to you. He was despised and rejected by a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as from one whom men hid their faces. And he was despised, and we esteemed him not, and he bore our griefs. But there was nothing about him outwardly. And so it might be with you, like if Jesus is a vessel for God's purposes, he was not attractive. They didn't say, wow, what a muscular guy, or what a personality. Oh, he fills the room. He just fills the room when he comes in. No, apparently not. There was nothing that anybody could see that was attractive to him. So he made himself available to his Father. And so that's a little bit, I hope, like us. Like his Lord, he just says they won't be attracted that way, but there will be this deep holiness in that person's life that is important to the Lord. I read from Luke chapter 6 and verse 19, and I read from Luke chapter 8, verse 46, and Jesus said on both occasions that, how would I describe this, that there was power in him. And he asked, and you can look it up if you want, or if it's not on the screen, this power left him on two occasions. He said, who touched me? He said, I felt power leave from me. And I've been wondering about that. If Jesus didn't carry the power of God with him. He was a carrier for the power of God. He was filled with the Spirit so strongly that it made a difference. Power, he said. And that woman who touched him, he came in and he said, "Somebody touched me." And he said, "Master, there's scores and scores of people, hundreds of people here. What? How do we know? We don't know who it was." He said, how he knew, because he felt something drain out of him. And in the light of that, if it's true that we carry the Holy Spirit with us, you're going out to your work world today, and all week long you'll be interacting with people, but the joy of this thing is that you'll be available. Could it be that power will come from you? Could it be? I'm not coming up with some weird doctrine, I don't think. It's just that for Jesus, power came from him. He didn't say anything. He just walked by and people touched him and power came forth. And I thought, wouldn't it be something, if that's how it works, for us? That we say, "Lord, here I am. Start the week, start the day. And anytime, Lord, if I come in contact with somebody, and for whatever reason they're talking, could it be that as I talk, that power comes forth and touches that person?" I don't know. Could it be that this person's ill, and we say to the person, "Would you mind if I prayed for you?" And we have nothing going for us, and that person say, "Yeah, that would be fine." And we just gently reach out and touch them, and power comes forth. At least that's the possibility of it. And so it makes it, "Lord, oh, I want to be ready. If I want to be ready, if I want to be one of those vessels that are under honor, and someone with whom power comes out, there's a power in your life that didn't come from you. It came from the Spirit of God. And you become, in some ways, very dangerous, very available to the Lord, and the devil would hate everything about you because of that. Because if Jesus carried the power of God, could it not be that I and you, that somebody would say, they come to you, "Can I talk to you?" And they say, "I feel when I'm around you, I feel the power of the Lord. I feel something that I don't feel around other people." And I won't take it any further to make it some kind of weird doctrine, but simply to know that we carry the power of God. It's not coming, it's in him, it's in me. "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." You shall receive power. Say, "Yes, Lord, yes." In my ordinary, plain Jane way, it's nothing different, just except that to make yourself available. And God says, because the power of God rests on you and comes forth from you, I'm going to fill you to overflowing, and you will be used of the Lord. You shall receive power. That's what he said. And so we again, but it doesn't come just like that. It comes from somebody who's been on their face before the Lord and asking God to fill them and to touch them and to make them available. So you don't know what will come next. But we can say, "Oh Lord, fill me, fill me, fill me." No, you don't have to keep asking. He is quite willing, I think, to overflow from our lives, because I am convinced that I carry the power of God. But I want to be like a Jesus instrument, where there's nothing about me or anything about you that's different. It's just that you're available, wholly committed to him, that your whole life is about pleasing him, and that any way he wants to use you is fine. And you see somebody, and you just feel led towards them. I mean, how wonderful is this? Doesn't it give every day a whole nother meaning? That the power of God, that when you pray for that person, that prayed for that person, power came forth from your life. And it might be that down the road they might have even got saved. We don't know. But we do know that the Lord is interested, and if it flowed out of him, it could well flow out of any of us. I wrote this, asked this question: what kind of person does God work through? What kind of person does he do that? Because I want to be that guy. Whatever it is that he does, whatever he does his work through, I want to be that other one, to be available to the Lord. And the answer, of course, is Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8. And you may just want to turn to that. I'll just read it here for you. Matthew chapter 5. It's a great verse, and I have stood on it And there we go. Blessed are the pure in heart. Okay? For they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Wow. I know that when you consecrate yourself and you make yourself available, I know that it touches the heart of God greatly, greatly. And the reason why I want to press in, and I know you want to press in, is because I want to see God. And if I'm filled with the world, if I'm filled with all kinds of, you know, just negative things, and I'm not right with the Lord, or I'm not right in attitudes, or I've got something against a brother in Christ, I've got some issue, whatever it is, somebody with a pure heart, God says, that's the person I'm going to use. It's a simple thing in many, many ways. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Don't you mean, well, he just makes himself, he manifests himself to us. But that humble, honest-to-goodness heart, God will show you things about himself. He'll show you intimacy things and insights that you come across in the scriptures. Be all kinds of things like that. It's just an amazing thing, actually. And you're available to the Lord. Those who are pure in heart. God does his work through to see God. You see, clutter your life. God's ministering to you and you don't even see it because you're cluttered. Your life is cluttered and maybe your thought life is cluttered. And I don't want to be a dirty old man. I just had a birthday and 29 is a good thing. I don't want it to be. You read about these things and this guy, usually it's a guy, and his life is polluted and he's being arrested for whatever. I'm just saying, you want to be that person? I don't want to be anywhere near that type of debauchery and that type of craziness. And how do people get into those situations? But I know they didn't deal with this and they didn't deal with that and they didn't deal with that. And so now they hardly think any pure thoughts. Every thought is a corrupted thought. And it's not that the influence comes all the time, but I don't want to be somebody polluted or corrupted when I had a chance to yield to the Lord and to know that God works through somebody who's pure in their heart. And I tell you, that, folks, there's just nothing better to meeting somebody and you just know that somebody's got a pure heart. You can sense it. You can tell. I've met lots and lots and lots and lots of people in my time, and I can sense many times that there's somebody with a pure heart. I can feel it. I can feel the kind of person they are. There's not another thing happening down here. What you see is what you get with them. They're pure in heart. I know how that came about. It came about when they were weeping on the floor. And they said, God, I want to be a vessel useful for you. That's how it comes about. There's no secret thing. That person is not stronger than other people. Just an ordinary person. But he's pure in heart. And others, you sense it. Just the genuineness of it. But it's like Jesus. So I can remember actually some of the people that trained me back in the 70s, a long time ago. And somebody would say, do you think so-and-so, one of the instructors here would have been into that or into this or into that? And I said, are you kidding? I said, if I was a betting man, I would bet $100,000 that person is not like that. That old school, they were different. They were godly. They were straight as an arrow. You never, ever questioned it because you knew when an A.D. Marshall or a G.S. McLean or a Lauren Pritchard, what you saw is what you got. There wasn't another level. There was no embezzlement of any way of kind or shape. It was just there. That's them. And I said, I can't prove any of this. And they're going on to heaven. But I think it'd be true. Kevin, isn't it true? These just really godly people. And you want to be like that. That's all that I'm saying. You want to be like that. You want people to say, pure heart, pure heart, pure heart. And for the glory of God. So that's the kind of person God does his work through, the kind that are pure in heart. I'm repeating myself. So here's a question. How do we lose our Gillette edge? You know, just where you saw me say it, you're just the sword, your life being a sword. How wonderful that can be your life and like my life. And how do we lose it? Because there's people that don't have that cutting edge anymore. They probably wish they had it, but they don't. And so I answered the question here. The answer to this for keeping the spiritual Gillette edge, but that was an ad, by the way. You wonder where that came from. That's an old ad they used to play about the Gillette edge. Number one, they always had their cleanse their heart. Each day they would, at the end of that day, they would say, Lord, if there's anything in my heart today, just purify it. And so they didn't allow sin. They wouldn't tolerate sin. You know, I say, well, I'll get around to that one time. I'll cleanse my heart somewhere down the road. No, they just right away said. I remember a man, a very godly man, once said to me, Brother Owen, I just want to say, I'm sorry that what I said the other day. He said, I didn't mean to be. And I said, Brother, I don't think it's in you to do that anyway. And I thought, that's true. This isn't in you. That's not, you're forgiven, I said, but I know you didn't do that on purpose. I said, well, so a life filled with sin, you can't get used by God. You don't see God. All you see is the world and the junk of the world. So that's the first thing, just undwelt with sin. And the other thing is, I think is that there's some time in your life you're able to sit down and ask the Lord to, just to you and him, to talk together. If I haven't talked to the Lord up to date, you know, today, and then tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, it's the most important. You either make it or break it in the closet. I think that's where it must be that time alone, that if there's a person with holiness in their life, it's because of this, that they had some time. I guarantee you that. That's how it works, that person gave themselves to the Lord, yielded themselves to the Lord, and just made themselves available to God. And the result is what we get. We get this godly guy or godly woman who is full of the Lord, repents of sin often, and just allows time to be with Christ. In other words, you holiness kind of seeps into you. I think that's true. You wish it was different, but it seeps into you, so you're available. Whether you're in a little room somewhere or whether you're out in the woods, but that little quiet time you have with Jesus, the pure one, the holy one, is just an opportunity for each of us to draw near like that. But that's how you lose it, that you tolerate sin and make light of it, and then to spend that quality time. And I don't know, we'll talk about this in a few moments, but I don't think there's any other way. Because the people that I know and the people you know that you've known down through the years, right? These are not recent things. This is down through the years you've seen that growth in their life. And I've said to a few people, I said, can you tell me the secret of your success? How is it that I feel that you've tapped into something? And they weren't too humble. I haven't tapped into anything. I haven't done anything. That's not true. There's some things they've done. But it made me anxious and thirsty to be around somebody who I admire and I thank God for, and I want to be like them. And I joke with them. I said, I've always known you. I said, I always thought you were an honest person. And of course, he's embarrassed, didn't want to talk about it. So that's how you lose it. But you don't have to. There's no reason why we have to end up with a kind of a discolored life. Just that we make sure that we are not letting anything get in the way. And the Lord, I think the Lord gives us great grace when we do that. So then number six, What about the power of purity? I think there's a tremendous power. I think the anointing rests on a sincere person who's made themselves available. That's just, you can name a lot of different people. Some of them are famous, some of them not. But the power of purity, man, it's amazing. Just there's something built into it. And I wrote a little statement at the back here. Always choose efficient over flashy. There are many people that impress us. And they say impressive things and they do impressive things. But I think deep down on other levels, there's maybe something not really in order. And not that sometimes we get invited to look into that life, but not all the time. But to have a life that's pure, clean, so that the neighbor, so that my unknown neighbor doesn't see two sides, doesn't see me yelling at my wife, right? Doesn't know that's hopefully dealt with, but it's pure and clean and efficient. And a life like that brings and calls forth the mighty power of God. I think the Lord can't resist coming upon us and to bless us and to purify us. I don't think he can't help himself because he is pure. That's Jesus is pure. And he comes close to us and he grants us his power. If anyone is being used of the Lord, I know one thing, they're alone somewhere praying and asking God to fill them and to use them and to touch them and to guide them. Oh, it's all about the Lord. But it starts back with this desire. And again, for a church, there are churches. I remember walking into a church that I felt like yelling, snakes knee deep. That was my kind of feel. I thought, I don't know what's going on in this place. And I didn't know the church. It wasn't any church that I knew. But I walked into it for some whatever event it was. And there was something. The atmosphere was wrong. There was a disunity. There was a lot of other things. But that life, that church, I think whatever had happened, there's some things that were going on in that church. And they kept on going on. And when they should have pulled over and said, we got some problems here, there's something, there's a wrong spirit in here. And so I trust that as Valley Church, that we'll never have a bad spirit, you know, with some kind of sin or some kind of weird things going on in the church. We want it to be, you can see right through from one side to the other. Isn't that what we want? Isn't that the heart's desire of it? Is that we want to be able to say, oh, come to our church. There's no secret part here. This is it. We're not very exciting. We're not very flashy, but we'll take efficiency. We'll take genuineness. And I'm, for that reason, so glad that I know you. Genuine people. And people feel genuineness. They feel it. They know it. And it pleases the Lord in every way. And I say, we may be not very flashy, but I'm not into flashy anymore, are you? I'm into efficiency. That we just are an instrument useful for the master and letting God touch us and fill us and to be able to present ourselves to him, living sacrifices. Wow. Knowing that there's, and praying for each other. I would think, matter of fact, even Wednesday night, there's a good meeting. Let's just pray for that the power of God will come on each one of us. And there would be this anointing on our hearts and our lives. That would be a good purpose for a Wednesday night meeting. Just to cry out to God. Say, God, we're bankrupt here. Without you, Lord, we will be like this and this and this. We don't want to be, so we present ourselves to you. And prayer, that happens in prayer, I think, the most. Amen. So, what's been your experience? Where did you find that, if you have felt yourself being drawn to Christ, what were some of the secrets of that? Well, I hate the word secret, but what were some of the things that you said, I think when I started doing this and this, God began to fill me and use me? Who would like to just venture forth with that? We're not saying how are your secret to being an amazing person. We already knew that. Anybody? Yes. Wait. A little louder, William. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah, I can't disagree with that. Anybody else? Just thoughts that came to you. Say how, because you obviously have. There's been growth and. So it's just a yielding to the Lord. Yeah. Yeah. It's not going to get fixed. That's true. I tell the Lord, I said, Lord, if you don't do something in my heart, it won't going to get done. It's got to be from you. Anybody else? Yes. Yes. Yeah. That's so, what can we add to that? So true. So grim. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's certainly a part of it. Yeah. Anybody else up in the balcony? Down below. Wow, that's yes.
Not, is the number one hope in our lives to be obedient to God. The reason it's in the Old Testament and we're seeing all the problems that are happening there is because they were not obedient to God. They went up when they were obedient to God, they went down when they were.
Yeah. Wow. Well, then that covers a lot of things that we're talking about here. Yeah. Obedience. But you know, here's the good news. The Lord's enabled us by the Spirit of God to do this. We can be obedient. We're not necessarily destined to failure. We can be. We have the Spirit of the Lord. We can be filled with Him. Amen. That's, like I say, you're able to discover something. One more. Then we'll meet for coffee before it gets warm. Yes.
So when everything is of the Lord and His will and we're willing and He's willing.
The passage is that there's these vessels, and it seems that Paul is saying you have a choice to be whether you want to be a holy and pure vessel or whether you want to be one used for less purposes. And I think I'm glad for that choice. Say, Lord, I'm choosing today, I'm choosing holiness. And the songs this morning, that was really good. About holiness, purity in your life. So Father, we want to thank you for today. This is the day the Lord has made. We thank you for your goodness and your kindness. And Lord, we just cry out today. We want to walk with you. We want our lives to be glorifying to you. Lord, we want nothing in it that would hinder, that would corrupt in some way. Lord, purify us, magnify us. Work in our hearts. We are choosing obedience, Lord, as a way of life that we will always please the Lord. And we thank you for that, Lord. And we pray this in the strong name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Come and join us if you can. Just such super good weather. And it would be nice just to chat with you for a while if we can.